Governance and Finance Committee together. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in our Friday edition. We're going to have a few more hearings next week. The Vice Chair is thrilled about this. Yeah.
Can't you be more efficient?
I think you should.
Hey, see that? Yeah, exactly. Hey, there we go. Yeah, please go right ahead, sir.
That's kind of how it is.
Senator Bell, would you like to chair another committee?
Hey, there we go. All right, dang. I like it. Let's call the roll and open us up. Ms. Lanchester.
McGuire.
Here.
McGuire present. Morlock. Morlock present. Bell. Bell present. Hertzberg. Hurtado. Nielsen. Wiener. Wiener present.
Ladies and gentlemen, quorum has been established. We'd like to be able to take a look at time. Senate session will be starting at 9 a.m. We'd like to try to break before that. Here's what the game plan would be. If we don't have the necessary folks to be able to close the roll, we're going to recess the hearing until after session. We will then add on individuals who may not be able to vote prior to the 9 a.m. session. If our legislative business, the policy that's in front of us, has yet to be completed, we'll need to be able to hold that over till the end of session. So I just want to give a heads up as we start moving forward with that and do not want to rush this process. So we do have an option, as it will be a relatively quick session compared to what we've seen earlier in the week. We have one bill in front of us, that's AB 1487. Before we get started on this, I want to take a moment to say how grateful I am. I know that Senator Wiener is, on behalf of Assemblymember Chu. Assemblymember Chu has been working on this issue diligently for many months now. There has been a formal ad hoc process that was established to be able to negotiate and go back and forth with Assemblymember Chu on amendments. He has stuck to that game plan 100% of the time. Through thick and thin, and when times were low, he continued to go high. And I just want to take a moment to say how grateful we are to the leadership of Assemblymember Chu on this important bill. He's been collaborative, he's been transparent, and he has been able to finally get this in front of us with stakeholder input 100% of the way, both through public meetings as well as through the ad hoc process. I also want to take a moment to say thank you so much to the chair of housing here in the Senate side, Senator Wiener, for all of his collaboration and bringing his perspective to this important issue. And this would not have happened without either of them, the two good members from City and County of San Francisco, and of course we have another good member, Assemblymember Ting, as well. But without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to the chair of Assembly Housing to be able to present AB 1487, and again, thank you, sir, for all of your work.
Thank you. And let me also start by first thanking the committee for giving me an opportunity to represent this bill, and of course to thank the chair of this committee who has spent many, many hours, not just with our office, but with stakeholders around the Bay and your district in working this through and working through all the issues. I also want to just thank your staff, who has done incredible work working with our team and the rest of the Bay on this. And I know Senator Wiener was here, but thanks to Senator Wiener and his team for moving this forward. So, Senators, this bill, as a refresher, is a regional bill to address the housing crisis in our Bay Area. The intent of the bill has been to enable the Bay Area to help ourselves, to give the nine-county region the authority to raise funding for affordable housing, similar to how the region has had legislative authority to raise monies for transportation, thanks to Senator Bell, as well as for restoration of the San Francisco Bay. Our hope has been through this process that this authority will help to address the housing crisis in the Bay Area, where we have continued to suffer from record home prices, rents, evictions, and homelessness levels. When we were last in this committee in early July, the regional agencies were in the midst of contemplating recommended amendments to this bill that would convey the support of a broad range of cities and counties in the Bay Area. And I am grateful that we have that today. We had, at the request of your chair, essentially paused the bill until we received that feedback. The regional agencies have concluded their process. In July, they voted to support this bill with their amendments by a vote of 23-3 at the Association of Bay Area Governments, by a vote of 13-3 at the Metropolitan Commission, Transportation Commission, We have since incorporated their proposed amendments and worked closely with your chair to address the concerns that he had raised with this bill, and the bill in front of you reflects all of those changes. Some of the high levels. In terms of governance, we are not establishing a new regional agency or bureaucracy, which was what was initially proposed in this bill many, many months ago in its first introduction. Instead, all major decisions related to this bill, related to revenue and expenditure, will be made by ABAG and the MTC, with ABAG acting as the lead agency. In terms of revenue, the share of funds will be distributed directly to counties with a share that has been increased from 75% to at least 80%, reflecting a desire for a higher return to source, with the remaining 20% to go back to the regional pool, with the exception being a potential tax on employment, where 50% would go back to the regional pool, which enables our region to support cities that face the burden of housing, the workforce that we have. In addition, the three largest cities in the region would get an allocation of funds from their counties, reflecting their disproportionate share of burden to build affordable housing, and other cities in the region would also get a guaranteed funding if they have more than 30% of their county's RENA allocation. In terms of expenditure, we have agreed through MTC and ABAG that at least 2/3 of the funding would be dedicated to production and preservation of affordable housing, and again, thanks to the chair for his input on that. And additional monies would be also able to be spent on tenant protections, infrastructure that supports housing, as well as staff support. We're excited about all these changes to the bill. We're excited about the region-wide collaboration, and we, of course, are committed to continuing the work on this with the region in the coming years. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to our witness, Ms. Long from the MTC.
Good morning, ma'am. You have 2 minutes. It's good to see you again. We appreciate you making the trek up to Sacramento again.
My pleasure. Rebecca Long, Manager of Government Relations with MTC and ABAG. Good morning, Chair McGuire, Vice Chair Morlock, and members. We're very happy to be here today with a support position on AB 1487. This has been a remarkably collaborative process. We're very grateful to the author, Assemblymember Chu, and his staff, to you personally, Mr. Chair, and your staff, to bring us here today. This bill really has been well outlined by the author, so I won't go through all of that, but really just to say how critical it is that we have not just additional tools in terms of increased incentives to build housing, but more resources. We know that we can't solve our housing crisis simply with, you know, efforts to streamline production from the market rate. We do have an enormous need to build more affordable housing, and that does require public subsidy. So what this bill does is it doesn't ask for the state to raise taxes. It provides a new tool to regional agencies to put measures on the ballot that would be subject to a 2/3 vote. And also subject to extensive collaboration and discussion at the regional level. So none of these taxes could move forward without approval of both boards. And so that's an extensive degree of local engagement that would be required. So with that, I'm just here to answer any questions and ask for your aye vote, and with much gratitude for all the work to bring us here today.
Thank you so much. Why don't we open it up for those who may be in support? If you could please advance at this time. We're looking for those in support of the bill.
Good morning, members, here on behalf of the cities of Fremont, San Leandro, Oakland, and Berkeley. Graciela Castillo-Crings. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Holly Fermini de Jesus with Lighthouse Public Affairs on behalf of NPH, Habitat for Humanity, East Bay, Silicon Valley, SV at Home, and California YIMBY.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Julie Snyder on behalf of Enterprise Community Partners, a co-sponsor. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to do last call for those who are in support. We're now going to ask those who may be opposed, if you could please advance at this time.
Good morning, Chair and members.
Andrew morning.
Cusidar, CBIA. First, we want to thank the Assemblymember
Chu. Sure. Do you mind just bringing the mic up closer? I'm sorry. I just want to make sure we get your words. I apologize for interrupting. The floor is yours.
I can hear myself, but I can't hear you.
Yeah, you're good.
So I appreciate that. So I just, Andrew Cusidar, CBIA. First, we want to thank Assemblymember Chu and all the staff for working with us and graciously giving us their limited time since the newest amendments went to print last week. We really appreciate that the Assemblymember is taking the time to hear our concerns and to consider possible remedies. Unfortunately, there's a loophole where housing can be taxed in the Bay Area, which can ultimately have an impact on our folks. For these reasons, we are CBIA is in opposed unless amended. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Casey Elliott on behalf of the towns of Lafayette, Pleasanton, and Danville, we're in opposition. Our primary opposition stems from the return to source on the funding. As is currently in the bill, the funds would return to the county of origin. We believe it would be more appropriate for a portion of those funds to return directly to the cities of origin, so that way the property tax owners, the businesses that are paying these taxes, can have some level of assurance that they will be receiving funds back. Therefore, they can engage in some long-term planning, those types of things. So, thank you.
No, thank you so much. We'd like to be able to do a last call for those who may be opposed. If you could please come forward, last call for opposed. We'd like to be able to bring it back. We'd just like to just quickly, and I'm going to turn it over to the committee. On the issue of return to source, this was a really big discussion for a few weeks during the negotiations on this. I think that we were able to strike a balance. We were able to keep the largest cities in the Bay Area, San Jose, Oakland, and San Francisco, continuing to see money flow directly back. But we also heard from some small cities that said that they may not be able to handle the dollars that may be flowing back. And candidly, thought we needed to be able to do more. So we took a data-driven approach when it comes to the issue of return to source. And what we ended up saying is, if there is any city that has over 30% of the entire affordable housing stock within their county, they would get direct return to source. So that would mean, like, for example, Santa Rosa, who has 54% of all affordable housing in the county of Sonoma, would also be eligible. That would mean Napa, who has 53% of all affordable housing in the county, would get that direct. But the county would work collaboratively with those smaller cities. So that was a big issue, which I think that we were able to work through. Obviously, there are going to be some who will still have some concerns. And the other item I will then now open it up is, I will not go through, as I did at housing, and again, I want to send great respect to the advocates who are here on behalf of CBIA. I will just share my frustration. I promise you, I will not go into what I said at housing, is that this was very last minute, and do believe that those concerns can be worked out at a local level, as this initiative that's in front of us today is simply providing permission to be able to advance any potential revenue measure. Revenue measure would need to be put onto the ballot by ABAG and MTC. Prior to any of the revenue measures going in front of the Bay Area voters, that would need to be debated and discussed publicly. And ultimately, what ends up in those measures will be up to the representatives of ABAG and MTC. So, long story short, those concerns can still be addressed at the local level prior to a potential measure being put onto the ballot. I'm going to stop yapping, and I'm going to turn it over to any members who would like to be able to speak and also welcome a motion. And before Senator Bell speaks, I just want to say there's not been a bigger champion of affordable housing than Senator Bell. Thank you for all your work, sir. Yeah.
Okay, one of the questions I had with the revised bill was, can you describe the public process that happens before the ballot measure? And then the public process once the ballot measure is approved after the ballot measure. Can you go over that for me? Like before and then after.
So just at a very quick level, sort of high level, as your chair had highlighted, there are two major regional bodies in the Bay Area, which Senator Bell knows well, ABAG and the MTC. And in order for this to be approved, ABAG would start that process of proposing potential revenue measures and details of an expenditure plan. It would have to be approved by ABAG. That then would go to the MTC that you served on for similar approval. If the MTC decides that they want changes to that, it would have to then go back to the ABAG for final approval before it would go to voters for a two-thirds vote. And so, as we all know, two-thirds votes at the ballot box are difficult and would require significant consensus. We also know that hammering out consensus at ABAG and MTC are also difficult. So that's, at a high level, the process.
When you say ABAG, which body of ABAG are you talking about?
The executive board.
Okay, that's what I wanted to find out, yes. Okay, so so then once the two bodies agree upon that, it goes on the ballot as described by the two bodies, then the voters approve it, then in terms of the ongoing kind of allocation, the plan, and so forth, what is the public process, or how does that procedurally go?
Well, first of all, we outline several of the details of what that needs to look like. So, yeah. For example, at the suggestion of Senator McGuire, two-thirds of that money have to go to production or preservation of affordable housing. excuse me. Monies would, you heard this discussion around monies that would be going to counties versus monies that would be going to a regional pot. Some of the higher points of that have been set by this bill. So for many of the revenue sources, 80% of the monies would be returned to source, would go to the counties where they came from. 20% would go to a regional pot, with the exception of one revenue source, which would be a business-related source, and the idea is where those jobs are created. Half of that money should go to a regional pot to address those concerns. Is that your question?
About the process that you go through. Okay, the ballot measure is approved. Okay, we got all this stuff in the law. It's approved. You have the kind of the statutes that you have to observe. Then you have a body that allocates the money to cities, counties, these people that come up and want to, do they go and make requests for you have an overall strategic plan?
So counties would determine.
Is there a hearing on this?
Yeah, counties would determine an expenditure plan, okay. And that would go through the public process. So Santa Clara County, San Francisco County, et cetera, would figure out the pot of money that comes in and have that discussion, obviously, with their cities for that pot of money.
Okay, and they would have to have a public hearing each county?
Correct, absolutely.
Do they have to go take that plan, whatever they agree on, and get the regional body to approve the plan after they agree to it, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think that expenditure plan would simply have to be confirmed that it's completed, but it's with regard to the discretion of the county.
Okay, so if the county does something, maybe they want to do something a certain way, they can do it without having that overridden by the regional body?
That's right. It would have to comply with the terms of this bill, but yes.
Okay, yeah. And, okay, so the county would have the specific allocation, you know, like if there's 22 cities and they wanted to allocate it to all 22 cities,
they could do that,
or they can allocate it to projects, or are they allocating it to projects or to communities?
There,
you know, like is there, like if somebody comes in and wants a project approved, do they allocate it to that, or do they allocate it to the cities, and then the cities allocate it to the projects?
It's both, right?
It's kind of hard.
It's actually as the counties see fit. There are projects that would be likely brought forward by cities, but generally it would be either projects or cities.
Okay. And I'm asking these questions, getting it clear. So if the county wanted to allocate it to a housing trust, directly, could they allocate it to a housing trust if they wanted to do that? Is that allowed under the
product? I believe that is. I just want to confirm. My staff is confirming that, yes.
There's a lot of cases our county would probably just out, you know, the smaller cities, they would prefer to not be in charge of managing the money and doing all the process. They'd turn it over to the county housing trust, and then the county housing trust would be more efficient and allocate it to and review the projects and then allocate the money to those.
And that's exactly why Senator McGuire and I had thought that the formula made sense for some of the largest cities to receive a direct allocation, but otherwise to give the counties the discretion to figure out the most efficient way to get it to the projects that would best help. Because we know that there are many cities, as you put it, that don't have the expertise.
They don't have housing department.
The wherewithal or the interest to do it, and yet the affordable housing needs still exist.
Okay, that's good. I answered, asked all my questions that I heard out in my community, and thank you for the bill, and I move approval of the bill.
We have a motion on the floor. Thank you so much, Senator Bell. So members, I'm going to do a quick time check. We have Senator Hurtado, Senator Nielsen, who would like to be able to comment, would also like to be able to have the Chair of Housing, Senator Wiener, if you would like to be able to comment as well. on this. So we are going to need to recess at approximately 9 a.m. to be able to get to the floor. So I just want to be aware. I'm going to turn it over to Senator Hurtado, then we're going to go to Senator Nielsen.
Quick question and then followed by a statement. The bill is just specific to the San Francisco Bay Area, which means counties of Alameda, Contra Costa, Marin, Napa.
The nine county regions okay. of the Bay, correct.
You know, Assemblymember Chu, I, you probably know this by now, I'm not a big fan of increasing taxes or fees, but I really do admire, you know, your hard work and trying to, you know, for housing for your district and your region. And so for those reasons today, I will be supporting your bill. So just wanted to ask and then put, and let you know of that as well.
Very much appreciate that.
Thank you so much, Senator Tata. Good morning, Senator Nielsen.
I'll be brief. You know, I had a foothold in this area many years ago. In fact, was even a member of BCDC. Now, is BCDC still alive and well?
I served on BCDC after you did. So, yes, it is.
Well, here's the issue. I don't think there's anything in this legislation that would help expedite or relieve some of the cost add-ons that have been a major contributing factor, like $10,000 solar. And since this is going to be touted as a model for all of California, it's going to be pretty tough for me to vote for something like that. Is there anything in here that will fast-track construction to get some of the things that concern the construction industry out of the way or relieve their burdens and the impediments and the litigation?
Senator Wiener has a bill he'd like to talk to you about. I'm kidding. There we go. No, please, Assemblymember Chu.
So this bill is about affordable housing funding. There is a portion of potential expenditures that would provide cities with essentially 10% of the pool could be used for incentives to cities that are doing a better job of building affordable housing. So broadly speaking, you know, the idea is that counties would be making decisions on where to build affordable housing within their region, and would also be they would be incented to figure out what would goose affordable housing production within those regions. But I will say on a different front on those topics, I think we share the same policy goals. I've been very supportive of moving forward a conversation as a chair of the Assembly Housing Committee on what to do around impact fees, as well as how do we streamline housing. We know that significant housing production is the only long-term solution. I had hoped that we were going to see Senator Wiener's bill come over to our house. I hope that there will be significant production bills moving forward that we can tie to this, so we certainly share those policy goals.
I thank you, Assemblyman Chu, and I am aware of your fastidious attention to the matter. But as far as the bill is today, I cannot support it.
Thank you so much, Senator Nielsen. Very grateful. I'd like to be able to turn it over to Senator Wiener, please.
Very quickly, so we can get to the floor. I want to thank my assembly member. He always smiles whenever I say
I fix his potholes, yes. And he fixes mine.
I'm his senator, so for his leadership, this has been a really hard bill. I remember when it was first proposed, there was a lot of skepticism about it, but the author has really persisted, and I'm proud to be a co-author. I think this is very important. All this does, it says to the Bay Area that if the voters of the Bay Area want to vote by a two-thirds vote to fund affordable housing for our lower-income residents, then the voters of the Bay Area should be able, with a two-thirds vote, to do that. And I think having that regional autonomy to meet a really deep crisis, the crisis everywhere in California, but the Bay Area is a special kind of crisis. It's really bad, especially for our lower-income residents who are being pushed into homelessness. In terms of the question from the Senator Nielsen, right now in California under SB 35, which I authored 2 years ago, essentially 100% affordable housing, really anything that's at least 50% affordable, is streamlined essentially in all of California with only minor exceptions. No CEQA, no discretionary permitting, no lawsuits around CEQA. It's all taken out of that. It's streamlined. And then the author actually, Assemblymember Chu, authored legislation specific to supportive housing for formerly homeless people. So we have massively streamlined the housing that would be funded by this measure. So just to point that out. So thank you very much, and I'm a strong supporter of this bill.
Thank you so much. And we're going to go to the Vice Chair. Mr. Vice Chair, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the fourth hearing we've had on this bill. So I just want to let you know that I've been trying to catch the vision, and my issue is that I'm not familiar with the players in your region, so I haven't had that personal touch that you have. So I'm a little concerned. I don't have a Southern California comparative. I did serve on the OCTA board. I did serve on OCCOG, which are probably the comparables to what we're talking about here. I'm not so sure I'd be excited about that proposition of this model down there with those two municipalities. So I'm concerned about what we're doing as a precedent. I've been listening, I've been abstaining or laying off each time, but it's a big state and we have to look at best practices. And I'm just concerned about a bottom up versus a top down. Maybe it's better to go bottom up than to, you know, have it come directed out of Sacramento and how things should be done. But I'm a little concerned. I'm not sure if this is the best approach. And I apologize, Mr. Chair, that I'm reading it and looking at it in every meeting. I'm here and I'm listening. But I don't know if we have time, years, to watch it fail or succeed because of the need. So I may be leaning more towards a no. And I just wanted to put that on the record. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
No, thank you so much, Mr. Vice Chair. Very grateful for your comments. Ladies and gentlemen, seeing and hearing all discussion and debate cease, we do have a motion on the floor. That motion is by Senator Bell. The motion is return the bill to the Senate floor. I want to take a moment to say thank you to the gentleman to my left, Jonathan, for all of his work on this. He has been working many, many hours. I want to say thank you to Steve from the Assembly side for all of his work on this. We are going to be recessing this committee formally, as we'll be adding on Senator Hertzberg after session. We're going to be reconvening in room 3191. Assemblymember Chu, would you like to be able to close?
Just very briefly, I'm happy to continue to engage in the conversation with our colleagues across the aisle. I will say we never intended this to be a model for other regions. We're simply trying to figure out what works for the Bay. Obviously, if it does work well, then happy for others to look at it. But rest assured, I'm not trying to push this model. That being said, it is for the Bay Area. We've done this for transportation. We've done this for Bay Area restoration. It has worked very well. I would describe this bill not as a top-down bill, but as a bottom-up bill. We really engage more deeply than I've engaged with any bill I've had in 5 years with real grassroots leadership. Senator McGuire has painstakingly been involved in many of these meetings with local leaders, as has Senator Wiener, to make sure that this gives locals, it really gives our local jurisdictions the tool to figure this out for themselves. The last thing I'll just say for those of you not from the Bay Area, we do have a very intense need in our region. Our region was the epicenter of the state's housing crisis. And what's in it for you is if we are successful, our hope is we will be able to generate our own funding so that those of us from the Bay Area will hopefully have slightly less pressures when it comes to budgetary needs and others, which again frees up, I think, budgetary resources for the rest of the state. So with that, let me again reiterate my deep, deep thanks to the chairman for his incredible work. I also want to just take a note and thank my staffer, Steve Wertheim, and anyone else, Senator Wiener, who have engaged countless hours on this, and respectfully ask for your support.
Thank you so much, Assemblymember. Thank you to your work. Thank you, Senator Wiener. Very grateful. Lanchester, roll call, please.
McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Morlock. Bell.
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hertzberg. Hurtado.
Aye.
Hurtado, aye. Nielsen. Wiener.
Aye.
Wiener, aye. You have 4-0.
It is currently a 4-0 vote. We're going to keep the bill open. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to recess. We will be reconvening at 3191, 15 minutes after session. Room 3191, 15 minutes after session. We are in recess. Convening the Governance and Finance Committee here, and we have the majority leader is in the House today. Ladies and gentlemen, we currently enjoy a 4-0 vote on our one item, AB 1487. The motion is return the bill to the Senate floor. Ms. Lanchester, if you can please call the absent members.
Hertzberg?
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. 5-0.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is done. 5-0 vote. That bill is out. We're closing roll. Thank you so much. We're going to be seeing you probably several times next week, which the majority leader and our transportation chair is very excited about. No. All right. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful weekend. We are adjourned.